Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening, you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if you're facing some troublesome issue and you'd like to talk it through, call now, 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. Yesterday, we had Andrew Farley on the program. We talked about The Hurt and the Healer, a wonderful resource that we're making available to our listeners this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. But one of the things that we talked about yesterday was the idea that healing comes through this new covenant that we live in today. Jesus Christ ushered in a new covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant on our behalf. He took the punishment that we justly deserved. But then his blood also did something else. It ratified the new covenant. And in this new covenant, we have four promises. And these promises, if you will embrace them, will genuinely change your life. And today I've posted on our website an article entitled Four Promises That Will Change Your Life. I encourage you to go there and read that particular article. But we take a look, I take a look at the promises as listed out in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. And here are those four promises. The first one is this: I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. The second promise is this: I will be their God and they will be my people. The third says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And then the fourth, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is God's will for us. This is God's declaration to us that when we come to him by faith or and are declared to be children of God, then these promises become our promises. Right. They're not just things out there for other people to enjoy. They become the promises that really become the foundation for our lives and become our very lives. So I've juiced those promises down to four words. What we need is power, power to live the Christian life. We didn't have that apart from Christ. Well, this first promise says that God is going to write his laws upon our hearts. How does he do that? Well, he sends his Spirit to live inside of us. So now we have the power to live out the Christian life. We also need assurance. He says, I will be your God, you will be my people. That's an amazing, assuring promise. I don't know. I'm wondering, does God really love me? Does God really accept me? I mean, how could he with all of these things going on in my mind and all of these actions? And yet he tells us that we belong to him. So we have assurance. And then what we deeply crave is relationship. We want to know God. And in this new covenant, we can actually know him personally. Yeah. And all of that rests upon the forgiveness that Jesus Christ provided through his shed blood. So we have forgiveness of sins. It's an amazing covenant with amazing promises that will truly change your life. And that's why Andrew in his book spells healing, C-O-V-E-N-A-N-T, yeah. New covenant. Yeah. New covenant is where you will find healing for your souls.
That's Basic Gospel. That's what we proclaim daily right here on this radio broadcast. We'd love for you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. If you have something you'd like to talk about, now is the time.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk to Vincent, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, listen to you guys all the time, man. You guys are great.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. We certainly appreciate hearing it.
Okay. I got a question for you guys. I've been a believer for quite some time, and I'm pretty familiar with the Gospels. And there's a term that's being used through some of my studies that I never heard before. It's called backsliding. I actually received a New Believer's Bible, NLT version. It's written by Pastor Greg Laurie. It's actually got a page in there that's called What is Backslide? And then I actually read through the New Testament a couple times, and I never heard that word before. I was wondering if you guys were familiar with it.
We're familiar with the word. It's not a word that is used in the New Testament. It is used several times in the Old Testament. Jeremiah used it three or four times in his prophecy. Ezekiel used it, and it refers to, you know, you're walking with the Lord, and that's what the nation of Israel was doing. They would walk with the Lord, and then they would be tempted by all of the other idols and foreign gods and that sort of thing, and they would turn their back on the one true God, and they would go after the idols, and they would pay homage to these idols and start worshiping these idols. And so Jeremiah and Ezekiel described them as being backslidden. They basically were sliding away from God back to the things of the world. Now, we've taken that, or many ministers and many teachers have taken that term, and they've tried to apply it to believers today. But it's not in the New Testament. It's not in the New Covenant. You know, we can choose to follow the desires of the flesh. You know, the Bible doesn't say that's a backslidden state. That's just simply choosing to follow the desires of the flesh. We are children of God. We are His forever. Our sins have been forgiven, and now we have some choices. Are we going to carry out the desires of the Spirit given to us by the Holy Spirit Himself, or are we going to carry out the desires of the flesh? And if we're carrying out the desires of the flesh, the Bible at that point simply says, you're carrying out the desires of the flesh. Let go of those and take hold of the desires of the Spirit that reside in you now as well. Walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Vincent?
Yeah, it does. It does. Some passages, I guess the way they interpret it's a little different. I'm pretty familiar with Jeremiah 3:22, where he says, come back to me and I will heal your wayward hearts. And, you know, there's such a difference between the law of Moses and the law of grace through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So here's the key. You know, back then, the laws weren't written on their hearts. They had the laws on tablets of stone. It was external, so it was external obedience. And the fact of the matter is that their hearts were naturally inclined away from God instead of toward God. And so occasionally through the leadership of various prophets that would come on the scene, or folks like Moses or folks like David, he would challenge and say, let's walk down this pathway of God's law and do what God has called us to. But they were really going against their natural inclinations as a people. But in this new covenant, we have the laws written on our hearts. Our hearts have been changed. So our hearts are naturally inclined toward God. They used to be inclined to the things of this world, but now they're inclined toward God. And we can live that out as we walk in the Spirit. So there's a big change from the old to the new, and it gets back to this first promise of the new covenant that I will put my laws in your minds and write them on your hearts. Big difference right there.
Yeah, well, the Old Testament theology is, you know, perform well and you will succeed. And now the covenant of grace through Jesus is, you know, through the works of the Holy Spirit. So I see what you're saying. You know, basically you got to discern what this Holy Spirit's voice is and then what the flesh is trying to lead you to do.
Absolutely.
So, okay, man. That was great. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Vincent. Great question today. Sure appreciate you calling.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I never heard of it before. I've heard of spiritual regression, but I never heard of a backslider. You know, you know, it's a battle that we're going to fight to the day we die. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. So, you know, every day, you know, even with my walk with the Lord, every day I'm growing, you know, and I make mistakes, but, you know, I lift my mistakes up to the Lord, and I ask the Lord to well, this give me wisdom and give me grace, and you know, he helps me through it. So
well, this is a journey. Yeah. It was begun by God himself. Jesus started a work in us by saving us, and he's promised to complete it, and we can count on that. That's a promise that he will deliver on. Well, Vincent, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, just as our way of saying thanks, okay?
Yeah, and for a few more days, we got this offer going for Bart Millard's and Andrew Farley's book, The Hurt and the Healer, and if you'd like to make a gift to Basic Gospel in any amount, we'll get one on the way to you. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. We're here every day to take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution to your particular issue or question, and we want to keep doing that. We consider it a privilege to serve every day on the air, and thank you, the many of you who have been partners with us in this endeavor. So those of you who have not, we encourage you to be a part of it. And again, The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and all you need to do to get your copy and to make your gift is to go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Littleton, Colorado, and talk with Tom. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How are you doing out there with all the flooding? And did you get impacted by that? And
no, not down in Littleton. We're close to Denver. So, yeah, from Boulder, you know, all the way up through Lyons and through there. We were on that road that got washed out going to Estes Park about 4 months ago.
Wow. Well, just seeing all the footage from that area and those that water rising and rushing down through various places, heart just goes out to all those folks that live in those areas, and prayers for safety and all of those sort of things. So
this isn't the first time that's happened in that area.
That's right. Well, Tom, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you. I'm really having a hard time. I was born again and was doing everything right and knew Jesus, and then I walked outside one day after I had been reading for a couple hours in the Word, and it sounded like there were two or three spirits talking to me at once, and I got confused, and I turned around kind of, and I just said no, and it felt like the Holy Spirit that always has been with me for years and years and years says, it's not me talking, and they just asked me to come back inside in the kitchen, and I didn't know what was going on, so I said no, just out of, I don't know, response, I guess, or else, I don't know if it was through the flesh or what. I'm just confused now. And so that happened about a year ago, and the Holy Spirit hasn't talked to me since. And I don't know if I've tried to look up in the Word all about quenching the Holy Spirit and stuff and tried to follow what it all means, but I've just been lost ever since. So haven't had prayers answered, haven't had any communication, and didn't know exactly what was going on.
Okay. Well, Tom, you say that you received the Lord, have been born again, and that was that happened some time ago, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you know that your sins are forgiven, that Christ has come to live inside of you and has given you new birth, has given you a new identity, has given you his righteousness, has declared you to be holy and perfect in his sight?
Yes, and I still completely believe in him, but it's, you know, it's just scary out. It feels like you're all of a sudden alone when the Holy Spirit's been talking to you for so many years.
Yeah. Well, when you say that you felt like he was talking to you, what did that feel like? I mean, what was that in your experience? Did you feel like he was talking to you, like audibly in your mind, or did you sense his presence?
It felt normal, and it felt like he was talking to me, just asking me to come back in the kitchen. And then another spirit came in and was kind of on top of him, and I started to answer the second one because I wasn't sure if Satan had dropped in, but I know, I was pretty sure that I was protected from him. And I've heard about the flesh getting involved, that it has some control over you. But if you've been saved, I thought that your mind and soul kind of got the flesh to do what you wanted it to do.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I think what's going on is this. You had that experience. Let me just back up just for a minute, Tom. As far as a believer is concerned, when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, the Holy Spirit seals that relationship that He has with you, and that is a deposit guaranteeing your future. And once the Holy Spirit is in, it is impossible for another spirit to come in and take possession. So there's no such thing as demon possession in the life of a believer. Okay? Now, okay. How the demonic world can influence us is through lies and deception, trying to get us to believe error rather than truth. That was certainly Satan's scheme in the garden. He presented a lie to Adam and Eve, but he presented it in such a way that they believed it to be true, and they went for it. They ate the fruit, and on that day they died. So his tactics are based on deception. He's trying to deceive you. So in your mind, you're thinking, okay, was it the Holy Spirit that was telling me to go into the kitchen, and was it a satanic spirit that was telling me to stay out of the kitchen? And if it was that, and I decided not to go back in the kitchen, did I, do something to jeopardize my relationship? So your mind is starting to question, your salvation probably. Did I just step over the line and not showing discernment as to which spirit I was to follow or which voice I was to follow? And so what's happening now is Satan is taking that confusing experience for you and just keeping it front and center, where you don't know which way is up. And I think it's just time to say, hey, that was an experience. I have no idea of why it happened or how to explain it away other than that's what occurred. But I'm going to leave that in the past, and I'm going to move forward recognizing truth. And the truth is this, that God's Spirit lives inside of me, that I have been made righteous in God's sight, that my sins have been forgiven. And I am going to rest in that truth and thank the Lord for that truth. And then I'll let Him work out all that other stuff. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to explain it other than to say it was an experience. It was an experience that left me confused. And I know that God is not the author of confusion. So I'm going to realize that if I'm confused, that God isn't the source of it. So I'm just going to put that in the past, and I am going to pick up the mantle of truth that I have in Jesus Christ. Truth is what's going to set you free, Tom. And truth has never left you. Truth has never departed you. It's just a matter of thanking God for that truth at this point in your life.
Okay.
So here's what I would do if I'm in your shoes. I would say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you made me alive with Christ. Thank you that you took away my sins and that I am a forgiven person. And thank you that you are alive in me right now. And I am going to trust that and to rest in that I am going to leave this experience that happened a year ago in the past. It confused me. You're not the author of that. I'm going to rest in your truth today, and I'm going to thank you for what I know to be true right now.
Okay.
And I think that act of faith will start moving you back in the right direction.
And then, right, well, over the past year or something, it seems like Jesus has tested me to do several things, and I have not been able to do them for one reason or another, so I felt like I had disobeyed him, and didn't know if that was from that experience or not.
Yeah, again, that's just how our minds think. That's just how our minds operate. We start trying to interpret experiences, and we're very quick to, assess cause and effect. You know, here's what's happening to me now, and here's the reason it's happening. And so what you're saying is that God's basically punishing you for an act of disobedience that you feel happened a year ago. Well, all the punishment for your disobedience, for your sins, went upon Jesus. Jesus took your punishment. So there's no punishment for you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So count on that to be true. And okay. Thank God that it is true, okay. That there is no condemnation. You are a child of God, right, Tom?
Right.
You are in Christ.
Yes.
Because you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. That's good news.
And that's good news, yeah.
Yeah. So embrace that. Thank God for it. And thank God for it every single day.
Okay.
Okay? Let me put
thank
you on
you
hold.
Much.
We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. It will give you some practical steps as well that you can take in regard to this. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, Tom. Thanks for your call.
And we'll get more information about that in just a moment. A very quick question as we near the end of the broadcast. This is from Jay, who writes to us from Illinois. Says, I understand that it's God's will for all people to be saved, but I don't understand why God would allow Satan to roam the world and distract and deceive people from salvation. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a question that can be answered quickly, isn't it? That is a huge, huge question. And I don't know that we can really answer it other than the fact that God allowed Satan to have reign here on planet Earth. God allowed Satan to go to the garden to present his temptation to Adam and Eve. The whys and the wherefores, I think, are way too big for these finite minds of ours to fully comprehend. All we know is that's true. Satan is alive and well. Satan is our enemy. He's our adversary. He prowls around trying to devour us. That's just reality. But we have somebody that we can trust who is greater than Satan. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus has already defeated Satan. He defeated him at the cross. And we can live in that victory by faith in Jesus Christ. That's all we can know. And if we will actively trust the Lord, we will see those victories being lived out every single day in our daily lives.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. And, the good news keeps coming because people whose lives have been touched by the basic gospel message care enough to support it. That includes many of you. People we've spoken with by phone recently have said they count it a privilege to stand with us, to keep the basic gospel coming by radio and online each day so that others might also hear. This month, we've been saying thank you for your gift in any amount by sending you a copy of the Bart Millard Andrew Farley book, The Hurt and the Healer. And many of you have made generous gifts to Basic Gospel and have received a copy of the book. But at the end of this week, the offer goes away. We'd like for you to take advantage of it, too. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. You can't miss the link on the homepage there. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828. 2828 for the hurt and the healer, for a gift of any amount. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow at the same time.